We talked with A&R Secretary Deb Markowitz about sewage overflows. That issue is dear to water quality activist James Ehlers, president of the group Lake Champlain International. Ehlers keeps a close watch on the wastewater treatment plants around the state. He says there have been 25 sewage spills in Vermont in the last 35 days. Many of those were what are known as combined sewage overflows, where a municipal system is legally allowed to release semi-treated sewage into a water body. That usually happens when the system is overwhelmed during a heavy rainstorm. Ehlers thinks Vermont can and should be doing better when it comes to protecting our waterways and drinking water supply.
At a very minimum, the public deserves to know when these events are occurring upstream so that people can take the necessary precautions. The water sampling, the monitoring, particularly during the summer season when people are using the beaches, it's not reactive enough to ensure public health. In this day and age where your smartphone will tell you if your air conditioning turned on, I don't understand why we continue to rely on an operator sending a report to a state official to enter into a database to then post to a website as sufficient public notification. In one example, I believe it was the community of Northfield, the time frame between when the event occurred and when it was posted was at least 6 days, maybe 8 days. So there's going to be failures. For us, it's the chronic issue and the time delay between when people can take their own personal actions to protect themselves.
It sounds like you'd like a couple of things to happen here. Number one is, in the immediate term, better notification of the affected communities when there has been a sewage overflow, a sewage spill. And that could take a number of forms, but basically anybody who's in that affected community should be able to be informed immediately if there's a potential hazard.
Correct.
What would you like to see in the medium to long term when these systems get overloaded? One of the ways that it's currently dealt with is an allowed or illegal sewage overflow or spill. How do you think we should address that issue?
I think we need to start with a mindset that it's never acceptable for an upstream community to shift its cost to downstream communities. If people can agree with that, then we can start working on a statewide solution for investment in infrastructure. No town in Vermont exists as an island, except for when it comes to pollution, because a pollution event in, say, Montpelier doesn't impact the residents of Montpelier. It flows downstream, and it's Richmond and Waterbury and Williston and Essex and all these other communities that have to deal with that either knowingly or unknowingly. So from a standpoint of long-term solutions, there has to be public investment in infrastructure. We don't think that's outlandish. It creates local jobs, protecting our environment instead of poisoning it. And then those jobs would be created redeveloping the most prone areas. And again, the data tells us where those communities are. So whether it comes through rulemaking, whether it comes through legislation, communities, hopefully there are more people interested in their downstream neighbors than not. Communities would do this of their own accord, and the state would share in that investment because all people pollute and we all benefit from clean water. I don't see any other way around it, Jane, other than more investment in green infrastructure, moving away from reliance on centralized wastewater. Some communities have not been able to keep up with upgrades at all, and using their economic inability as an excuse to pollute, we don't tolerate that in other sectors of the economy. So if they can't afford a centralized wastewater treatment plant, then perhaps we need to look at working with these communities to create alternatives to centralized wastewater, such as ecological toilets or composting toilet systems, and moving away from this reliance on gray infrastructure that is proven not to be financially sustainable and, sadly, has not been keeping pace with the amount of new chemicals entering the waste stream due to advances in needed advances, welcome advances in medication. We know there's communities around the country where there's lithium in their drinking water supply as a result of the waste stream. Endocrine disruptors associated with hormones are in the water supply and are corrupting the aquatic life. Whatever we put into that waterway, I think we overlook at times that Lake Champlain is a source of drinking water and many other inland lakes for that matter. But in the case of Lake Champlain, some 200,000 people. So if we continue to rely on this, what I consider sort of lazy thinking, that it costs too much to prevent pollution, well, again, we're shifting the cost to drinking water treatment. And the picture for drinking water treatment in the state isn't much better than it is for wastewater. So a big problem, absolutely, but by that same measure, it's a big opportunity. For me, as a Vermonter, I think this is a great investment to make, not just for public health and environmental health, but from an economic development standpoint.
That's James Ellers. He's president of the group Lake Champlain International. We have more coverage of the sewage overflows Ellers was talking about at the beginning of our conversation. Go to vpr.net for all our stories.